What the? No matter which shade of blue you believe. What does that even mean? Allstate.
Allstate.
I can't do it. That was too long.
You almost did. That sounded really good.
Allstate. I can't. I can't, bro. You have to. I have to get like smoke a bunch and then like the night before, like just drink or smoke a bunch of Allstate. I couldn't. I can't do that. Allstate.
We're in good
hands. Allstate. And I'll just fuck that, dude. I'm gonna do the what's in your wallet guy.
There you go. Who the fuck, what's that? The guy from Major League, Pedro Serrano.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that insurance? Nationwide, right?
Is it Nationwide?
I don't know. It's too expensive for me.
Welcome to the CGCG podcast. That's CGCG podcast. That's CGCG podcast. We coming through your speakers. It's that CG podcast.
What up, everybody? It's episode 7 of the CG podcast. It's your boy CG2Easy here with your man Tone.
What's up, guys?
What up, man? We are here today. Special episode. We have our friend from school, our man. Back in the day, he was a homie of mine, played basketball with me. I know he played a couple sports with you, Tone. It's our boy, sir. Daniel Treadwell, man. Welcome to the show, brother.
What's up, fellas? Happy to be here, man.
Yeah, we're super happy to have you, man. Just with February Black History Month, we're very excited to do this. We can't wait to hear about your story and, you know, everything you're doing for the community too, man.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's just like,
I might have cut out.
Can you hear me?
There yeah, is. You're back, man. No worries. No, I know you're on the phone and stuff. It's just a little cut off. I'll be able to edit all this and stuff. So no worries. Just go ahead and.
No, I'm saying it's just wild. Like, just thinking back, like you said, like going way back in the day, like fifth, sixth grade. Shoot, playing basketball, playing baseball, all that. You know what I'm saying? We're all parents now. Shoot. So,
like, yes, exactly. Dude, things have changed, bro. From back in the day, for sure. It's been a minute. I'm so happy you wanted to. I mean, you hit up Tone. Well, you hit up Tone, my boy. And like, I was like, Daniel, hit you up. He wants to be on the show. That's so awesome, man. Cause like, immediately back in the day, basketball, the YMCA days of us just, man. You know what I mean? Going and playing and then being on the bus with Coach Need, all that stuff. All that stuff just popped in my brain, man. So I'm super happy to have you here, man.
Man, like I said, I'm happy to be here too. Yeah. And it's like, it's cool. Like I said, like us, you know, growing up being parents, and it's like, I'm, you know, sitting on the other side of the aisle now. Like I've been coaching like 7 years up at Elmwood Park High School up here. I've been volunteering with those guys, basically just handling their strength and conditioning. And I'm actually just started my first college job as a strength and conditioning coach up here at Morton College.
Oh wow, man! That's congratulations. That's awesome, dude. That I didn't know anything about that. That's awesome. That's so awesome, dude. So you're still staying active in sports and helping the youth out, doing what was done for us. That's awesome that you're doing that. So what's the school you're at doing that?
Volunteering at Elmwood Park High School, which is Northwest Suburbs, and then the job is at Morton College, which is in Cicero, West Suburbs. So, yeah, wow. Man. Yeah, man. It's fun. It's awesome. You know what I'm saying? Just getting a chance to do some things that, you know, we had some guidance and we had people looking out for us. And at the same time, being able to do some things that we didn't, you know, being able to, you know, offer some things that we didn't necessarily have for us too. You know what I'm saying? So just kind of, like I said, it's just, like I said, sitting on the other side of the aisle now, just watching the kids that I'm coaching and shit. Like some of these kids now, they're, you know, they're college graduates, you know, they're career people now. And it's just, shoot, it's just.
Right. It's another level, right? It's crazy how, yeah, no, exactly, bro. It's crazy how things just transcend and you go on to the next generation. And we're like you said, we're stepping up into that next shoe. I mean, I'm watching three kids grow. I know Tony, he just had a birthday of his boy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, man, we're just watching them grow. And then you obviously being on another side teaching, you know, college graduates and even high school kids, that's like, bro, that's next level. And to be able to do that and see, I respect that tremendously, bro, tremendously. And you said you do a lot of strength and conditioning for them?
Yeah, that's pretty much my primary gig. I mean, it all started working at the YMCA up here in Oak Park, doing just basketball coaching. I mean, at the same time, I played in the YMCA when I was a kid. So when I was in college, the opportunity came up for me to intern over there. So I was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It was like a no-brainer for me. And then, you know what I'm saying, got into coaching basketball over there, you know, doing one-on-one skills, and then kind of transferred over to working, you know, degree, which was my degree is exercise science. So that's when I got more into personal training and everything like that when I was at the Y, which kind of led me, you know, down a path. You know, I've already worked in basketball and I've got this background in exercise, like, you know, just put one and one, you know, put one with the other. And that's exactly what you have is strength and conditioning. So then it was just a matter of figuring out how, you know, how to break into that industry, which, you know, just making sure that I networked, got with the right people, just, you know, make, you know, making connections with different coaches in the community, staying relevant and staying active. You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely.
That's pretty cool, man. So how do you get into that? Like, I know, what is exactly strength and conditioning? Are you just like training them basically?
So strength conditioning at the college level is pretty cool because you're working specifically with the athletic teams. And each team, obviously, they play at various points of the year. So you're trying to cater each weight room program and each conditioning program specifically to each team and their needs, as well as the time of year that they're in, you know, whether it's the off season, preseason, whatever, you know, whatever you have. But yeah, like I said, you're just putting together their weight room programs, you're putting together their conditioning, you know, their sprints, their stretching, everything like that. And the goal is, you know, you want the kids to get bigger, faster, stronger, but you also want to keep them injury free as best as possible too. So there's a lot of thought that goes into the programs, just making sure everything's appropriate. But yeah, like I said, that's pretty much it. We're working specifically with these teams, trying to make sure that they're doing the right thing at the right time of the year. And it's pretty dope, I'm not gonna lie, man.
Man, that sounds dope. Yeah. That sounds dope. It sounds tough too. Like, it sounds like you got, there's a lot of that goes into that mentally as well for you. I mean, learning what's best for that team, especially what they're trying to, their goals specifically for the players that they have. I mean, that's got to take a lot of input on that, man. That's pretty interesting.
And so to get into it, it's, you know, NCAA requires that any strength coach has an accredited certification. And the certification, well, the base certification, which is what's called CSCS, Certified Strength Conditioning Specialist through the NSCA. And that certification actually requires you to have a bachelor's degree of some kind. So even to what just, and like I said, it's the CSCS is just a license. It's just a certification, but that certification requires you to have your bachelor's degree. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bachelor's degree in kinesiology or exercise science, but you have to be a college graduate to even
obtain
that certification. And that's pretty much across the board when it comes to the certifications that, you know, collegiate boards, whether it's NCAA, junior college associations, whatever, you know, that's pretty much across the board. All of those certifying organizations require a degree. So,
man, that's pretty interesting. You definitely got to be educated for that. I'm sure there's still like a lot of like studying stuff you have to do on like maybe new exercises or how the body works, right?
Yeah, I mean, technology for sure, right? Technology definitely comes into it without everything.
There's technology. One of my favorite things, honestly, about it is, like you said, like there's so much research that's always being uncovered in the industry. A lot of the professionals that I've worked with, for example, I've had opportunities to intern at UIC up here in Chicago. I interned at Northern Illinois University with their strength and conditioning department.
Ooh,
and
nice.
when you get to meet these directors, you know, the director of strength and conditioning, they typically work with whatever the big program is on campus. So at NIU, it's football. At UIC, it's basketball. Yeah. So whatever the big program is, that's who the director works with specifically. But a lot of their staff, you see these guys on campus, these guys and girls on campus all the time. They're doing different seminars and, you know, educational seminars, whether it be about various body parts and various muscles or, you know, professional development seminars as well. They do these things on campus as well as they host these things through the different organizations. So So the coaches that are actually on campus are rather well known a lot of times throughout the industry because of the types of things that they have to be indulged in as professionals. Like I said, they're taking part in the actual research that goes, you know what I'm saying? The research that ends up being taught in the classroom. A lot of the strength coaches, you know, at your Division I campus. Again, sorry.
Yeah, you did. You're good.
Yeah, no worries, man.
No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of the Division I strength conditioning programs, a lot of times those coaches are the ones leading the charge in the research and getting that information out there. Duke University sports performance, for example, is fantastic just in that. Coach K and his input in that and what goes into that program is fantastic. And everybody knows Coach K as, you know, the basketball guy.
Yeah,
but like I said, if you go on Duke University campus, the sports performance department, he himself has put so much into that department because you know the university is gonna eat off of it. All of the research from an educational standpoint, because the students are gonna turn out to be some of the best students in the field, as well as it's servicing their athletes. So it's
Hey, that's a conversation for like the GOATs, right? Too, because they'll say like, let's talk about why LeBron is still going like a GOAT right now. Technology and just the way like strength and conditioning, like you're saying, how much money does that dude put in his body?
His body every year, dude.
Dude, exactly. Yeah. So they're talking to people like you, bro, and that's an awesome job, man. This is super.
I think there was like a study or an article I just read. It was one athlete. It could have been LeBron about how much he actually does spend on himself a month just for that kind of stuff. Like nothing else, just learning about his body, and it was like huge. The number was absolutely massive.
Yeah, just look at what you're able to do. Like he said, like these schools are doing investing. They're investing in their body is like one of them. That's like your tool, man. Especially in sports and stuff. That's your tools.
Yeah,
you gotta.
And that's the and honestly, as a health professional, that's kind of the importance of it that we see is the body is something that everybody should take pride in. You should definitely want to be as healthy, as strong as possible. But like I said, we see how much money these schools make off of sports. So if you're gonna athletes as well as you want to protect, you know, humanity in general. So if you're able to produce research that's going to show that a certain activity is healthy, a certain activity is, you know, more conducive to increasing speed or strength, or you know, eating certain types of food is actually more beneficial to, you know, achieving a certain goal. Yeah, you want your athletes to know this stuff, but like I said, at the end of the day, it's better. You're helping the world.
Athletes for sure. But then, like you're saying, it's bigger than that. Health is bigger than that for everybody.
So, I know with everything going on lately in the world, and then also being Black History Month, we really wanted to know about like maybe the struggles that you went through from high school as an athlete, and then all the way coming up, and things you've seen maybe. In the college world of sports and everything too. Can you speak on that?
It's all sorts of stuff. When you really think about, I think about some of the little stuff going back to being a kid, and I feel honestly blessed just growing up where we did because we had a great amount of diversity, not only in our town, but even just the surrounding neighborhoods, you know what I'm saying? So, but even still, you know, we all dealt with stereotypes, just being kids, to be honest. You know, for example, being one of the only Black kids in, you know, moments that played baseball, it wasn't super easy to find people necessarily where I was at to go play baseball with. Because I didn't live in moments. I lived in the Terrace. Not a lot of us were just keen on playing baseball over the Terrace. So, you know, little barriers like that, where it's like, maybe we could have excelled a little bit more at baseball if, you know, baseball is something that's, you know, more, you know, practice. Yeah. You know,
it's bigger than the actual neighborhood right there. Yeah.
How much better would moments be at baseball if Sun River Terrace and Hopkins Park had, you know, a mindset to go play baseball as well as basketball?
Yeah. I mean,
had our own little park with more coaches over there.
The athletes that came out of there are absolutely some of our best, if not our best athletes that we've ever had. So you're right. If there's a baseball program and more of an incentive, something out there, man, you never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just whatever, you know, whatever sport. I mean, so like I said, a little stuff like that. And then like I said, like even getting older, you realize, you know, I think in high school, I don't think we had a single coach of color. I think we had maybe Coach Hernandez on the football team. So,
but it, I mean, that was like an assistant, though, right?
Yeah, I think he was a volunteer at that. So
volunteer, yeah, you're right.
So, volunteer, and I may be wrong. I'm, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like,
yeah, I can't think of one.
Yeah, I don't think
we had Coach Snead and my dad in middle school.
Well, yeah, that was like the last thing I remember. Yeah.
But no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think of anything. You make a lot of sense, bro, and stuff that I didn't even think of. And actually, when you first thing you said, I can agree with for sure. I can agree with all of what you're saying. But
oops, sorry.
We being lucky is a huge thing. And I didn't know that either until I moved away, I think, is because when I went further south, when I went to Missouri, and now I'm in Texas now, but we knowing where I came from in moments and knowing the people that like going on the groups that we grew up in. I mean, it was very diverse, man. I felt very close to everybody in there. And just when I moved away, you definitely see a difference in the world. So you're pointing out a lot of different things also that I didn't even notice. Like you're saying that I didn't even notice that happened right there in town. But we were lucky. But like you said, man, there's some things that just make
it?
A lot of
Why
sense.
Why do you
bro.
Think like, I mean, it literally is from high school all the way on up. Why is there not as many black coaches or anything like that? What's the stigma to that?
Man, I don't know. I wish I could call it. Honestly, when you look at Moments is a diverse town, but at the same time, the overwhelming, I don't want to say overwhelming, but the majority demographic is white.
Right. Then, yeah, it's diverse, right, but also still white.
There's nothing wrong
still
with
more
that,
white.
But then if you want to peel the layers back, you got to look at things like, what are the requirements to be a coach? A lot of times the coaches are teachers. In order to be a teacher, you got to have a degree in education in the state of Illinois. So, you know, that's why, like I said, when you look at the coach that the you mentioned, Coach Snead, shout out him, you know what I mean? He was a basketball coach. He was also a coach on Eastside Bulldogs over in Kankakee.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you look at him, he's got the background, he's got the degree, you know, he's got the college education, therefore he's able to become a teacher in a school district in the state of Illinois, and then he's able to be a coach, and he's able, you know, and then on top of that, he's got coach experience because, like I said, he's working with Eastside Bulldogs, so that door is able to be a lot more opened up for him, especially him having grown up in the area. That door is going to open up for him. But then, you know, you ask yourself, like, how many black and brown people from the area actually go to college, 4-year college at that, you know, go to 4-year university
that. Yeah, for sure, bro.
And if that, are they going for education? Are they actually trying to pursue a career in education? And that's one of the things that I didn't realize. And you're talking about how we got going into strength and conditioning a little bit too. Like, one of the things I didn't realize that, you know, like, not until I got to college that was actually a requirement to be a teacher, was like you had to have an actual degree in specifically education. I didn't know that. And then it started to make sense to me why all of our coaches were like history teachers instead of just like coaches.
right. That makes sense. Exactly right. He said it, nail on the head, math bro. History teachers, like, teachers at, or like, math, right?
If you look at every, math. You look at every single one of our coaches, it was like, yeah, like, yeah,
they
it,
were.
It made sense that you're a teacher because they you work were. In the district, but when you think about the jobs that open up, the job could open up to anybody, honestly, but who does it make sense? Like, who do you trust more? You trust somebody who's been in the building, someone who has a relationship with the students, especially if you got somebody like, shit, shout out Coach Fox, played college basketball. If that dude goes and gets an education degree and wants to come back and be a teacher and coach basketball, he was one of the best in, you know, best in our high school history to do it. You're going to get that guy a job.
Yeah, he was a really good athlete in our school. Yeah. Baseball, too, he's fantastic.
And he was a quarterback, you know, so.
Yeah, he was a good athlete. So do you think, though, maybe they should open that up a little bit? Because some of, like, our coaches growing up, like, you know, from Little League days and up, I've already got that connection with a lot of us, you know what I mean? Could that help maybe some of the athletes from the terrace and stuff then want to play more than just basketball or just football? Maybe then, because Daniel, you're probably the only, you and I, Sean, I think, were the only two black players I played with. But there's so many good athletes. Like David Clayton was a fantastic baseball player, but never played in high school.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. I honestly don't know what the, you know, how to, you know, get rid of the stigma around wanting to play a certain sport. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like right. that's more.
Is it a comfort?
I think it's a comfort thing. You want to fit in a little bit too. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So if you're, mm-hmm. and then at the same time, it's like, we got to make a choice at some point. That, like, you know what I mean? Like I played three sports. I could have ran track too if I wanted to. I threw in junior high. I threw shot and disc and I ran 200 in junior high. Mm-hmm. So I could have been a four sport athlete in high school. God, that's exhausting. Three sports was hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, it's true.
Hey man, but you were dedicated. Like I can see how you're doing what you're doing now, and like even it sounds like you're doing so much, bro. And very I'm so dedicated. Proud of you. That's so awesome. Like very from back even back in the day, like you're saying, the thing I remember most about playing with you in the actual sports was that you were like technical with stuff. Like I remember you having like a great jump shot. Your elbow was always. You know, I mean, you didn't look like you were just learning from somebody random. Like you looked like you were taking your time to actually learn stuff. So like all this stuff makes so much sense that you're doing right now, man. I'm super proud of you and like everything that you're doing for sure.
Yeah, man. And there's a lot that goes into it. Like I said, it's been just figuring out the ins and outs of the industry, what it takes to actually get into certain industries. Like I said, like if I honestly could have been a collegiate coach sooner had I known the route that I should have taken. And I didn't take that route straight out of college. I didn't intern at the right place. I interned at the YMCA. Had I interned initially at another university in their strength and conditioning department, becomes a lot easier for me to go into that career. Just little things. Like I said, the networking part is so huge. I mean,
yeah.
And even that's a big part of why I've gotten my position now. And I know we were wanting to talk a little bit about, you know, like social injustice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like a big part of why I got noticed for the position at the college now is because people saw how active I was in the community over the past summer with, you know, going to different rallies and things like that. And I was able to make a few connections and actually have conversations with people who, honestly, I didn't even realize I was on their radar. And it was, and it's cool how it turned out. We had a nice little rally up here in Berwyn, where I live now, just outside of Chicago. And I got up and I said, people asked me to speak a little bit. So I got up and I said what I said. And the mayor was actually impressed with what I said. He said he was impressed with my demeanor and things like that, which I thought was cool. And he wanted to actually sit down and talk with me personally. So me, some clergy from my church and some close friends went and we sat down and we chopped it up with the mayor. And come to find out that the guy that I knew, that the head basketball coach at the high school, who I've known for a couple of years at this point, because I'm a basketball coach myself, but my son is in different basketball programs in the area. So I've seen his name's Tony Martinucci. I've seen him in passing, you know, at various different programs. Come to find out, he's actually really good friends with the mayor. I didn't know that. And
networking.
That's so cool. Yeah, dude, that's such an awesome story. No, this is awesome.
She knew exactly who I was, like I said, because number one, I'm a basketball coach, and number two, he had my son in a few different programs. And what he brought up to me, what Coach Martinucci brought to my attention, was I had been on his radar since last year, because when my son was playing basketball in his program, for 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, and the hoops that we were using at the practices were a little bit too high. So I went up to the assistant director and I was like, hey, can we get some smaller hoops? And if we don't have them here, you know, me and my wife, we can go out and buy a couple of them. It's no big deal. And he said, as soon as I left the office, his assistant called him up and was like, hey, we got to keep this guy around. And he had, so I had already actually been on Coach Martinucci's radar for 6 months, and it turned out the BLM rally was like the icing on the cake. He's like, no, I got to work with this guy.
Oh man. That's awesome, dude.
See, that's networking awesome. Right there.
Good for you, bro. Hell yeah. No, that's exactly what you're doing. That's boots on the ground networking, bro. That's not putting yourself out there. I'm so proud of you, bro. Just thinking of like,
isn't that cool? Memories, it's great to think about
where
right?
you come from.
Yeah, man. It's so cool. About, and then, like the last thing I just started diving into up here, it definitely tails off of that, all that. The conversation,
just the community outreach stuff.
Yeah, it still ties into that. The mayor ended up asking me to serve on what's our police and fire board of commissioners. That's basically the hiring and promotion and lateral hires of police officers and firefighters in the city of Berwyn.
Berwyn's a nice town too.
Yeah, it's a real nice town, man, and it's. There's a lot of political discourse happening right now. There's an election coming up out here. So people are, you know, especially given what everything that went down over the past year, people are very vocal about their opinions. And it's cool to see, honestly. If you ask anybody for, I feel like it gets old after a while, it gets exhausting. It gets tiring just hearing so much about black and white and rich and poor and right and wrong and left and right and blue and red and all that. It gets so old. But at the end of the day, if we got to at least have the conversations, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The conversation, we just peel back some layers about our own growing up and how diverse we were. But even still, there was racial discomfort in a lot of, I remember just little jokes about like, oh, you come to the terrorists, you gotta duck. And it's like, you guys aren't serious about it, but it's like, it's a joke because it's funny.
But yeah.
Yeah, bro, you make a lot of sense for sure. No, there's definitely things you can peel back. There's definitely a lot of things. If you wanted to get into it, like, and you could, but I think you could do that a lot of places, but we're lucky because it wasn't too much, but there's definitely much, layers of
even
stuff
that one little back. Thing sucks. Like, that's not okay.
No, definitely. That's what I mean. It's not okay at all. And the fact that we still think it's lucky, but that you could pull those things back. And I know for you, bro, just for you, like you're saying, I remember things that were just, I've seen you had to go through that I just like, or remember things being said to you that I'm like, man. Like, and then to see what you're doing now, like, I'm like, bro, I'm so proud of you, man, for real. And like, and I hope that this conversation, anyone listening, I hope people listen, even, you know, I think we'll get some listeners from like back in the school days and stuff, but I hope they think about it too. And just remember, like, maybe there's changes that we can do right now, you know, for those places that you're still at. So like, and you're doing that. Bro,
I definitely
want to
shout out
Candace
Sykes, you know what I'm saying? She's been working with me and Laura right now. We're trying to start up this little organization. So, and I know you heard about it. We're calling it Keys to the City. We're just really trying to get the ball rolling with it. We were able to get different clothing donations and get some clothes passed out to some kids over the holiday season. So that was dope.
Now what areas do you guys work with that?
We're really not exclusive at all. Candace actually, she lives in Texas as well. So we've been trying to get
work real quick, Amelia, on the court.
Bro, I'm about to say, no, I'll go get some lessons real quick. Oh, yeah. My daughter over there, I ain't about to go play her. You're tripping. I remember Candace just walking down the hallway. We knew she had a game. Everybody was stoked. Like, oh, snap, it's about to get hyped tonight.
Just a little thing. Candace is probably the greatest athlete that ever came out of Momentum. Boy or girl, doesn't matter. Candace is the GOAT. Like, she's amazing. She was amazing at basketball.
Hands down. Probably the greatest athlete out of Momentum. But yeah, so we're doing that. Like I said, we're calling it Keys to the City. I feel like the name suits because we're all from Kankakee.
I figured that. I like that. I was like, I think that's like a Kankakee thing. That's dope.
And then in terms of the city, it's like it don't matter what city, man. From like we're from the Keys to your city. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we're trying to help out, just, you know what I'm saying? So like I said, like just be in initiatives that we're going to have coming out over the next year. We're going to try to, you know, try to do different food drives, clothing drives, things like that. So yeah.
Definitely. So is there, can you plug a website, so there, page, a number? Maybe people want to donate something?
Right now, all that stuff's still in the works. We got our Instagram up right now, Tone. I know you follow that.
Yep, I'm on that.
Yep. So yeah, like right now, like basically we're just trying to get hot takes. If you know anybody that needs anything, and then we're just plugging the info into the community. So we're still working on getting our websites up. We're still working on expanding our social media as well. So yeah,
Hey man, we always have the CG podcast to come promote anything, bro. I'll tell you that right now, any day. Because like just talking to you about this is amazing. I definitely want your aspect on anything, bro. I would come to you for anything. I need to know stuff, bro. You sound awesome. Especially like if we get Derrick Rose back, we know we need to get you over there. So we'll fix this up, keep him around for a while. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to talk about right here. We need to get you up here, get you out there. So if Derrick Rose come home, we get Daniel over there.
Do what I can, everything up. We got to keep that man healthy for sure.
Yes, we do.
Hey, I'm saying, no, that's amazing, man. You and Candace, maybe one day we get both y'all on the show someday, get you promoting something. And just great to talk to you.
You got anything you want to add at all? Thank you so much.
Nah, man, like I said, I'm just happy to be here, man. Like I said, All I'm trying to do, man, like I hope, like I said, anybody that's listening, anybody who's got, anybody that wants to play ball, whether you want to play, if you want to coach, if you want to, you know, whatever you want to get into, man, I just suggest you just dig and find out what, you know what I'm saying? Like, ask, don't be afraid to ask anybody. Like, that's how I got to where I'm at, man. I just, like, when I figured out I wasn't going the right direction, I just stopped and asked. I would shoot out emails. I would call people up, and you'd be surprised how many people out there are genuinely willing to help you out. Like, everybody has a story, man. Like, it's something, like I said, I've worked with Division I coaches, and they come from stories just like ours, man. Small towns, you know, didn't have this and that and the third, and that's why they got into it. That's why they're, and a lot of these guys are making six-figure salaries now.
Doing something that they care about too, passionate about.
Like I said, like these guys, like you know what I'm saying, like they're out here pushing BMWs and stuff, but you know, like you'd be surprised, like that's the same person that's really willing to, hey, just come to tell you, come to my office and we'll figure this thing out. You know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to call. Don't be afraid to email. You know what I'm saying? Just if you're really trying to get out there, man, just push yourself out there. Like I said, you'd be surprised at so many people sitting in lucrative spots that are just willing to help you. They want to put you on game. So definitely, I know I'm you know, when I get my first $1 million check, I'm gonna do the same thing. So
that's awesome, man. That's very motivational right there. That's awesome.
Man,
that's awesome.
You learned a lot from your story for sure. Just to know that, you know, don't be, what I get from your story is, don't be afraid to take a chance, man. If you wouldn't have stood up and said your stuff, if you wouldn't have done this, if you wouldn't have put yourself out there, you wouldn't be where you're at, man. And that's awesome. You definitely got to take that away for anybody listening. That's something you can learn from, no matter your situation.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm happy to be here with you guys. I love seeing what you guys do. Man. It's awesome.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, appreciate it, man. We're trying to make it work. You know what I mean? Just having fun and just trying to, you know, just trying to make it work, man. Follow the dream. That's all it's about.
Peace to the city, man. If you got anybody, need anything, hit us up. Whether it's clothes, food, shoot, transportation, shit, gas money. You know what I'm saying? Whatever people need, definitely hit us up, man.
Keys to the city. Definitely, bro. Appreciate you, what you're doing for the family. What you're doing for the family is in the community that we grow in and the community that you're trying to build, man.
We appreciate you getting on, man.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys. God bless your families, man.
You too, man.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Man, that was dope, dude. Having Daniel on, man, super sick.
Yeah, that was fantastic. He had so much insight on what he's doing now and just everything. That was awesome. Can't wait to have him back.
Yeah, me too. That'll be a big one. Hey, man, but we got another one lined up. We got our boy calling in right now. Wait, you hear that, bro? You hear that? What, calling in, bro? What's somebody supposed to call in? Who's supposed to call in right now?
Someone's supposed to call in.
Oh, what the freak, dude? He's already in the building, he's dude. Here. My boy AJ's on the line. What up, AJ? This guy.
Emilio was so sad he missed you last time.
Dude, I saw so many opportunities to laugh.
It's great. AJ's fantastic.
I was bummed you weren't there, man. I mean, stuff happens, but it's all good. here now. That's what matters.
It's your radio voice that I really wanted to be a part of. I just wanted to be like, I'm part of the radio with you because I love it. You sound amazing, dude.
Dude, AJ, like, pie.
Step nine. I'm going to be eating a bowl of mac and cheese. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, this dude. Stop, dude. We're going to give you a dick.
You need to be a DJ.
The next pair. I'm going to replace Tone, bro. Fuck off. I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding. No. We'll
replace you.
Man, no, dude, don't stop, bro. We can't replace each other, man. We're irreplaceable. Listen. Listen, man, we got a good show, man. That was a great talk, but we got a great show. Back to the podcast. Sports, man. First thing coming up, Conor McGregor. Oh! How did you like that, dude? How did you feel about that fight? Both of y'all, man.
Well, the first round was going Conor's way-ish. And then the second round did not go Conor's way-ish.
That poor man got his ass whooped in the second round, dude. He got destroyed.
You nailed it.
His words.
Yeah, it was. It looked tough for sure. And but like you said, he did okay in the first round. You felt kind of like, okay, it's Conor. You know, he's doing his thing. He looks confident. But then, boom, dude.
It was those leg kicks.
Yeah, he had a great strategy for sure.
Yeah.
He had a great strategy, but like we said before, when you get hit hard, like Ryan Garcia did or whatever, just referring back to old fights, when you get hit hard, man, and you get put on the ground, it's how you get up, mm-hmm. which sees what happens. And what happened to Conor shows you, I think, right there, like, man, because when he got hit, he's down, man. It was over.
And it looked like some of the shots that he took weren't the hardest shots. Do you think it's the money and stuff going to his head? Maybe he don't have that, what would you call it, like killer instinct anymore?
The heart for it, you know? And like, yeah, I would probably say that. What do you think, AJ?
Definitely something different. I mean, after like Mayweather fight is kind of when I noticed a little bit of something different, like different about his game. It was just more about like, hey, look at me. Not as much of the, hey, I'm going to kick your ass. Thing we're looking for in fighters, more or less, that just killer instinct.
I love that, AJ, that you just chimed in on that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense, though, for sure, because like we were talking about, even with Canelo, after you fight Mayweather, it can turn you two different ways.
Am
I doing like exactly? That's exactly what we're saying.
Canelo
do two different.
Canelo
things.
Fights Floyd, and he's now probably the best boxer in boxing. Oh, well, not probably, he is
right.
And then Conor did it
right,
and he's just not looking like Conor.
Which Conor did it, and it was kind of based off money. It wasn't really, I mean, it was a heart factor, kind of. They were both great competitors of their field, like the greatest of their field. So that was kind of the heart of it. But I mean, like, it was money, too. It was gigantic money. And then, like you're saying, these fights, at least for that punch when he fell, it looked like it was for the money. It looked like it was for the money at that point. Like, you fall, you're like, okay, bro, you got me. You got me with the leg kicks, you got me with this foot.
And then he just stayed there. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, and then he just and then it was over, right? And then he's like, "All right, guy, get him off me. Give me my money. I'm done." You know what I mean? Like, but it's tough though. It is tough for especially for the fans of Conor McGregor. Like, if he continues this, do you really want to see him doing that to himself? Like, well, just for the money? Like, is that a fight you want to watch still?
I mean, it's dangerous.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, how far does your name take you? Yeah, that true. That definitely, especially when you got people coming for you for everything you used to say. You know
what
I mean?
You're right.
Where's that sound bite? No.
And now Conor is just, I don't know. We could be wrong. He can take this loss and then just, they are. Yeah,
they
want to
do a third
one,
right? Like at the end, they
said he's like on the third one. Because I think UFC puts him on like a suspension if you get hurt. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, I know at the end they say we got to do it three times. And I think Conor said it afterwards. Yep. They got to do it a three time again. So we'll see. I mean, maybe we are. Maybe he's gonna hear people talking like this, and obviously not us. But man, he's gonna hear people talking like this because it is I mean, everyone watching the fight could see it. I think it was blatant for anyone to see that. That's what it was. When you get hit like that, it's either like you said, you either pick yourself up and show the heart, or you don't. And I don't think it didn't show that time. So we'll see what happens. But if we're talking about heart, I'm talking
little
about
Michael Chandler
wow. went off. Ooh, bro, if you want to talk about it, ain't the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Nailed
and none
it.
Of y'all finished it with me. So whatever, I'm going to have to add my boy Terrence Howard with me saying it because that is the greatest freaking quote ever. And
come on, man.
It matches that dude, man. Michael Chandler looked like a little bulldog in there.
Yeah, he looked great. Very explosive.
Yes, he was explosive. He was definitely on the offensive and just pushed Hooker around, it looked like. Like he was pushing the pace.
Did you see that one, AJ?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, well, you should check out some highlights.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of boxing lately because it's either like, I don't know, it's like I've been working so fucking much lately. Either I'm just too tired or like, I'm sorry, I'm not paying $50 for a fucking.
Well, hold on now.
Hey, man. Well, I can fix that for you. Anybody listening, hit your boy up and we got that. EZCGTV. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna not gonna copyright it, but just hit me up, man. We'll fix it for you. I'm just saying.
Wow.
We'll get you out.
Good job, AJ.
We're
way
plugging
to bring
this every
in the
day.
Segue.
That's what I'm saying. We're plugging it every day.
So what do you think? Michael Chandler's next fight's got to be a big one, right?
I would hope so. He looks like he's hungry, bro. And I like it. And I like the
fact he called everybody out.
Man, he's undersized. He was undersized. He had
short.
Yeah, he was undersized in shortness and in reach. He was, you know what I mean? Like he was definitely looked like the underdog if you were just looking at the guys. And then, boom, he pushing that boy back.
Too
and
easy.
He was just throwing him. And I loved it. It was a great fight.
Agreed. It was a good one.
That was pretty much it for me for UFC.
Yeah, the other stuff I didn't know.
I mean, it was all right, but.
Yeah, it was all right. Bloop. I missed the first one or two fights because B-Dubs sucks in Bourbon A. Shout out B-Dubs Bourbon A. You guys suck. Every time I try to order anything from you guys and I have a pickup time that I emphasized 2 hours before, I still had to wait 40 minutes.
We will go on Yelp.
So you suck?
We will do that.
Well, now they're on the podcast.
Oh,
so
exactly.
That's bigger.
We're taking a step forward. Yeah, man, all our listeners. Anyways, past the wing ding, we're gonna move on to the ding ding boxing, which we were hyped up.
I like that.
We were hyped up, dude, a little bit, because I was, when I heard Ryan Garcia called out.
Got fired up.
Fighting Manny Pacquiao, I was stoked.
Me too, because before we were hearing Gervonta Davis, but Ryan Garcia and Manny Pacquiao was much bigger.
Ew, yeah, and it just sounded like it was just a cool thing, you know, almost like just a passing of the torch type thing in my eyes, because I love Ryan Garcia. I like him. I don't love him, but I like him a lot.
Big
and we'll
fan.
See what happens. I'm a big fan.
I am now, actually.
I'm a big fan for sure. But then now we've had some little ties or, you know, just little rumors, I guess, that it's not going to happen. So,
It looks like Golden Boy is screwing another rising star or star that they got, you know, because, you know, Canelo and Oscar had their falling out.
Yeah, and is that about money too? Is this a money thing?
So
is this a scared thing? What is this?
With the Canelo stuff, I know it was because Canelo wanted to stay active. He didn't care about fans. He didn't care about this and that. He just wanted to stay active. And, of course, Oscar wanted the gate, the ticket prices and all that, you know, in the purse and stuff.
Man.
But Canelo just wanted to fight. So they had a falling out. Canelo got out of Golden Boy, promoted himself.
Well, for this one,
Ryan
Garcia... You know?
I don't know what it is. They're not really like, they're just saying, I don't think it's happening. It's like, well, why? And I'm sure Ryan Garcia's not happy.
It's so crazy. Yeah, and that's the part that blows my mind is this. It's like this young kid wants to do it. He wants to fight. And the people and his legend, you know, somebody he looks up to wants to fight him and says, like, let's do it. Like, what? How are you going to put your foot in the way of that? Like, that's.
And places like Texas and Florida who are allowing fans. Do you know how high the stock of Ryan Garcia is right now?
Yeah.
Why would you not take Garcia Pacquiao as a promoter? It doesn't make sense.
Especially, didn't we just see he just had an injury, didn't he?
Broke his hand.
Man, and that's tough. That's
too young for that.
Yeah, that is tough. But like somebody else, did you say Mayweather had that happen as well?
Floyd's hands started breaking pretty, I think a little, maybe a couple fights before I think the De La Hoya fight.
Mm-hmm.
Where he had to like basically turn his style because Pretty Boy Floyd back in the day was a brawler, man. He would get in there.
Right.
And then his hands just couldn't hold up. So then he turned into Floyd Money Mayweather.
So you hope
defensive
this type
genius.
Thing don't happen. Sorry, AJ. What'd you say, brother?
I'm laughing because it's totally fucking true. You just like early on, like Pretty Boy, man, or just get into the fucking mix, just beat the shit out of people. It was impressive to watch him. Now it's just like, I'm sorry. The big thing I keep thinking about with Floyd Mayweather. Is the Pacquiao fight where it's just like, bop, bop, then fucking runs off. Like,
you love or hate him, bro. That's what it comes down to. And like for the fans, I respect all fans. I mean, because you gotta have fans, and that's what makes the sport. But he is the greatest technical fighter ever, I think. Boxer, I mean, defensive
I
technical boxer. I think he's the greatest.
I don't think he's the greatest. Fighter though,
do I think he's the most boring fighter as well? I'll put that right there. I'll put that literally. He can have both those trophies. I'll give him both of them.
Yes, I would too. Put them both on his mantle.
But I do. But I mean, now we're not talking about this guy anymore, man. Because he don't even. We're not. He's not fighting boxers anymore. So let's talk.
No.
Let's talk. Let's talk MLB, man. Even though my man's, I know you two got some stuff to talk about. I'm gonna kind of kick it here and listen and learn. But what do y'all got? What's been going on in MLB now?
So it's heating up finally, right? So this is gonna hurt us here, AJ. But Nolan Arenado going to the Cardinals. Ouch.
They gave him $50 million to take him.
Yeah, I saw that. Like the Rockies were like, "Do you want Nolan? And I'll also give you $50 million." Cardinals were like, "Well, yeah."
Let me think about that. Let me call my boss.
Yeah, we're fucking idiots if we don't take this fucking trade. Let's do this.
Which sucks, Rux, because now we gotta watch him absolutely probably destroy us all year as Cubs fans. But we made a couple signings. We replaced Kyle Schwarber with Kyle Schwarber 2.0, Jock Peterson. A little better defensively, but basically the same guy. A little smaller. But I saw we got who was it? Andrew Chafin and then Kyle Williams. Two other pitchers. Trevor Williams. So that's great, I guess. I don't know.
We actually just picked up another prospect from Detroit on waivers as well. You know, the waiver wire with MLB is just kind
that's
of
so weird.
Hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sergio Alcantara.
I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Higher level. He was a former, like, higher level prospect for Detroit in the past. But, of course, Detroit's prospect development is the equivalent of a dumpster fire.
Backluster.
Oh, cool. We have Casey Mize. Oh, cool. You're going to blow his arm out within a couple years.
Him and that other pitcher they got, they're going to be really good. If they don't mess up. Him and that other
pitcher they got, they're going to be. Oh, yeah. They're hoping for guys like that to turn into the next Justin Verlander if they don't make their shoulders, like, explode.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, they're going to be good.
Right. So the Phillies re-signed JT Realmuto, which was the best catcher in the market. So that's pretty cool. But the big thing that just happened last night was Trevor Bauer signing that 3-year, $102 million deal. First year is $40 million, and I read the second year is $42 or $44 million, and then the rest the third year. So
I've seen both 42 and 45.
Yeah.
That's like 30.
So what's crazy about that is every year he's got an opt-out. Because he doesn't like signing those long-term contracts, whatever. Wasn't it like a deal he made with a friend?
Yeah, something like that. Where
wasn't it like a deal he made with a friend?
Like, you know, I don't want to be here forever. Like, Cleveland starts to suck. Like,
you knew he didn't want to be in Cincinnati for more than a year. Who wants to hang out in Cincinnati?
Oh, there's a lot of things to do, like Kings Island, where you can go get stabbed, or And yeah, I can say that because I went there when I was 8, and then I think I went there again later.
Did you get stabbed?
And it's like, no, I didn't get stabbed. I thought I was going to get stabbed.
Yeah, so he goes to LA. He's a Dodger. That sucks. But at least he's not with the Reds, so we don't have to deal with him as much anymore. So the NL Central, AJ, what are you thinking? It's Cardinals first now, right? Because like no one did anything, but everyone lost except for the Cardinals now getting Nolan. Who is Emilio? He's probably maybe the best third baseman in the league. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, because you don't know anything about baseball.
I don't even, man, to be honest, I'm learning, but I don't know what the heck. And when does MLB even start?
In like a week.
Oh, spring training. Hey, well, check this out, bro. I don't know about it, but I'm going to learn a lot because what's coming to Xbox?
The show
coming to the Xbox, boy. Yeah, bro, I'm about to kill it. I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to learn everything. Watch.
Like it.
No, that's cool, man.
You got anything more for baseball, AJ?
Let's see. I was not prepared for this, so I'm just kind of looking for stuff.
It's all right.
So, Marcell Ozuna actually just signed a 4-year, $64 million deal in Atlanta to stay there.
They got him back then. Was that today?
Yesterday, last night.
Oh, well, we all missed it because of Trevor Bauer.
Oh, yeah, everybody was losing their fucking mind about that. Seriously, like, oh, man, my life is rough. I get to go to L.A. They just won a championship. I get paid $40 million fucking dollars to not even be the ace of the staff. Like,
oh, man, I'm going to have to bleep that. You are crazy, man. Calm down. Jeez.
He's mad.
I can tell. I'm going to have to bleep that one. My mother is listening, probably. I'm just kidding, dude.
He's kidding. It's explicit content.
Oh, nobody told me this was like Christian Minecraft. Like,
whoa, dang, go, gee, calm down, bro.
We gotta put exclaimers when AJ comes.
Yeah, when we get AJ on, we're gonna have to put parentheses. Keep your kids away from the earphones, please. And your mothers, if they're listening. Jeez, that's I'm awesome. Sorry, mom.
Alrighty, man. Hey. So that's it about with baseball.
Hey, but moving on to y'all's specials. Y'all, another specialty of y'all's.
Little hockey. Blackhawks look way better now all of a sudden. I think they heard the podcast us talking shit about them, AJ.
Is that or like those first couple of games were like rough, man. The, like watching Subban in goal was awful. Oh. I think I cut out after like the third period in the first couple of games.
Yeah. There. It hurt like, to watch good. Them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just like. Do I gotta watch
82
watchers?
Yeah, just hearing y'all talk about it, I haven't watched a lot, of course, because like, whatever, make fun of me. But hearing y'all talk about it makes me not even. I was like, oh my gosh, really? Was that
dude,
bad?
They were bad.
No, dude, that's terrible. But they look better. But they came around.
Yeah,
I've actually like watched a few interviews, like Kane, DeBrinket, Collison a little bit. It seems like the younger guys are starting to really buy into this. Culture change they're kind of investing
their
in.
Brand right Blackhawks have a brand now
yeah which their brand I've been right? kind of hit or miss on like people saying now. That that's weird to me mm-hmm.
yeah me too but it makes sense
yeah no like if you sell it right yeah, too, all right I'm in cool mm-hmm. let's do this but yeah no they young guys seem interested in it. They brought mm-hmm. in some of these new guys who seem like they're interested in like these older guys the vets of the team are starting to get buying in after it. They were pissed initially. Like, why mm-hmm. do we keep bringing in guys and just trading them off? It's taking up more salary cap we don't have. Right. What are we doing? But, no, some of these young up-and-coming guys, like Dylan Strome is a big one. He's been lighting it up.
He's been playing good.
Oh, yeah. Then, let's see. What else we got? Kane is tearing it up as always.
Kane's Kane.
I do know that name.
Patrick Kane's the man.
Yeah, I do know that guy.
Did you see his game last night? Was it last night? I think it was last night.
Thursday.
6-4, we whooped him. And then Kaner had a goal and 3 assists.
Yeah.
4-point game.
Doing good, man.
He's yeah.
4-point game.
Yeah, that's a guy to watch, Emilio. You'd like to watch him play hockey.
I just like to watch people fight. Does he fight?
Nah.
Does he pull the gloves off and throw the hands?
Nah, he's not a hands thrower.
His
name's
Kane, and he doesn't wrestle?
we got a couple guys that do that for him.
Okay. I'm gonna check him out, dude. No, I'm just kidding. I have heard his name before, and I know we got a lot of NHL family fans. So no, mm-hmm. for sure, I'll check that out. But
yeah,
y'all.
No, he's good. So, AJ, give us a roundup for the NHL. I mean, it's going basically the way you said.
Oh yeah, no, it still looks weird. Times COVID
yeah.
are still weird. Like, nobody in the stands.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the three stars of the game. Yeah. Yeah. Waving to nobody there.
Nobody's there.
Yeah. Super creepy. Nobody's yeah, there. It's kind of going as expected, other than the Blackhawks actually
turning around.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like actually being somewhat competitive, which is turning nice. Around. But yeah, for the most part, nothing really too surprising so mm-hmm. far. Haven't been able to watch a whole lot of games, but mm-hmm. what I have seen is more or less
what you said.
Yeah,
more or less, your nail on the head. You're the guru we said, and that's exactly what we brought you here for.
Exactly. He nailed it.
Right in the hot strings, man.
Hey, man, that's where I aim. You know that. Bing, bing, bing. Let me add the harmony right there. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, I'm an editing fool these days.
You write it down and you do it, don't you?
Dude, I swear it just pops in my brain. Then boom, bro, we got us a little. Never mind, bro. I need to calm down. I get too. See, that's what happens. I get too excited and then things get crazy.
Fired up.
You calm down. Hey, man, but let's talk about something that I am also excited for. Are we allowed to say it?
Why couldn't we?
Because I've heard like people have been calling it the big game and like
well they call it that things. Too.
But like just call it the I Super heard Bowl. That you're not allowed to say it.
Super Bowl. Come at me, Roger.
Don't cancel
Goodell.
Us, bro. But yeah, all right, throw the Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the Bucks, man.
Yeah, this is gonna be great, right?
What do you think?
Well, I think it's gonna be fun to watch Brady versus Mahomes in a Super Bowl because Mahomes is the new guy. He's the He's our best quarterback in the league.
You feel like Brady's him or Rodgers passing the torch down.
Exactly. How fun is that?
It's pretty cool. I think, but I also think that I'm not a Chiefs fan, so I'm going for Tom Brady. Woo, 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 woo. Yo, let's go.
Put something in. You got to edit something like a gasp or something.
Oh, I will. I'll edit out. I'll make that one great, but I am. You want to know why? Because I was going hardcore for Aaron Rodgers. I was, and I don't know why. I just felt like Aaron Rodgers was like walking on clouds. But then Tom Brady.
Tampa Tom.
Just walked through every quarterback in their team like, hey, man, I am Jesus. Who I am.
Yeah. So I have a question. If Tom Brady wins this, right, beats this super team of the Chiefs, is he the GOAT?
I'm saying yeah.
Yeah, as the guy who's admitted Dolphins fan and watched him kick my team's ass for 15, 20 years, I got to agree with that. I got to say yes.
I'm going to agree, too.
It's like he took a dartboard with, like, every team's name and then threw it, and the Bucks landed on it, and he was like, all right, Super Bowl.
You know what's crazy? And the Super Bowl's in Tampa. NFL got their way.
It's like, what is going on? He was like, oh, I'm a cheater. He's like, oh, I'm a cheater? Just because the water boy's a cheater. And he straight took the Bucks to the Bourbon Bowl. And I'm hyped about it. I'm hyped up.
I love that.
And I'm going for Tom, dude.
You're making me want to go ahead and go for the Buccaneers.
You might as well, bro, because I'm going to be hyped up. That's the one game I get stoked for because my mom and my pops, they straight bring out all the snacks. Exactly. You know how fat boys roll. We got all the we got all the snacks. We got all the chips. We got all these sodies. Come on with it.
Oh, I miss pop. I haven't had pop in a while.
See, I miss calling it pop. I'm down here with all these Southerners calling it soda.
Sody.
No, don't say sody, man. Don't be weird. I did that just for fun, for kicks. It's called soda down here, but whatever, dude. I'm just saying.
So, what is it about the Bucks do you think are going to be able to beat the Chiefs?
Tom Brady.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I
know. I mean, it makes sense. It does make sense.
Tell me what without Tom Brady are the Bucks there last year or any year or this year even? Or year even?
Interception for it.
This don't is talk my about point.
My guy like that.
This is my point.
But let's think, AJ?
Yeah,
who do you got?
Go, dude. What do you think, AJ? You even said who you going for, dude?
On this one, I'm hoping for Tampa, but I can see it being a very close game, and potentially the Chiefs are going to win it because the fucking Chiefs. But
because Mahomes is Steve Cold or Stone Cold Steve Austin caught that
Steve
beard.
Cold Stone Austin.
Steve Cold Austin Stone. Did you see him catch that beer, dude?
Yeah, that was dope, right?
That was tight. Yeah, that was tight. Year. He gets a point for that.
He's going to catch another. I'm going to go Chiefs, guys. Sorry.
That's fine.
Right.
That's fine. I'm going with the Guru, so we'll see who wins.
Yeah. AJ the Guru. That's AJ. His name now. That's how we're introducing him.
Hey, what's your favorite snack, fat boy, over there?
Me or AJ?
Well, I don't pick one, man. I don't care.
Go ahead, AJ.
I work out.
I'm on a diet, man.
I'm hitting Daniel after the podcast. I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about me.
There you go. I'm fine now, too. I'm down about 10 pounds.
I need
Actually, I am, too. Ever since I started this new job where they make us work like 50, 55 hours a week, yeah, now I'm working my ass off.
Tough.
That'll do it. That'll do it. So what's your favorite snack, AJ? Super Bowl snack. Specific.
Ooh, Super Bowl snack specifically. All right. I don't know. I gotta go like the greasiest fucking garbage pizza out there. Most of the time I'm cheap and I just hit those hot and ready's because I hate myself. No.
So Super Bowl, you want the good stuff?
This sounds like a sad Super Bowl solo, starting off with Little
Caesars. He's watching it at home by himself.
I like a Little Caesars pizza, 2 liter,
and a Twinkie, crazy bread.
A box of Twinkies on the side.
What do you like, Emilio? What's your favorite? You didn't say
no,
what your favorite
my
was.
My favorite, dude, for me, literally, my favorite Super Bowl snack is taco dip. Which I don't know if you know what it is. I think it's cream cheese on the bottom. Is it cream cheese? Or sour? Mm-hmm. It's cream cheese, I think, on the bottom, and then shredded cheese and meat, just like a taco, and then you eat it with Doritos and shit. So delicious.
Thacker makes that, and we call it Thacker dip.
You call it Thacker dip, eh?
Yeah,
my mom makes
good.
It, and we call it taco dip. So
I like it.
I'm going to call it Thaco dip. No.
There you go.
First that
I like I'm a wings guy. I think wings are always essential.
Wings are great. for
Buffalo,
sure.
Buffalo, preferably.
All right. Well, we concocted a pretty weird snack Super Bowl, so that's fun.
That's okay.
Hey, but that's going to be a good game. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see. Yeah. I think it'll be a good game. Excited for that for sure, always. NBA, moving on to NBA.
The National Basketball League.
The National Basketball League. Yes, for Shizzle, because that's my boys right there. Let's start it off with my boys, yes. man. And yes, those we are. Bulls. We're not the toughest team right now. Okay, no. We're number 12, but we're a tough 12. Okay, that's for how now. I feel. Exactly. Yeah, and it's for now. Still early.
We were just 9 the other day.
Exactly. That's right. It's early, and games fluctuates regular season, so never know. What I like to talk about though is the fact that we are 6th. In the league for field goal percentage as a team.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, dude. I think it goes to show coaching for me. For me, it's a coaching thing. For me, I feel like we're playing behind a system that we believe in. And Billy Donovan is just a great coach. And to be honest, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Billy Donovan is actually a huge member in one of my favorite players' careers. Like, he's a huge, pivotal influencer. Person. Influencer. That's a great word. There you go. Influence. To one of the greatest players that I feel like ever played as a point guard, Jason Williams, Jason White Chocolate Williams. He's my favorite point guard, I think, just the way that he was tossed the ball. But, bro, Billy Donovan and him, I guess, had a thing in college. He like, left one college, and White Chocolate went over to him, and then, you know what I mean? Something crazy happened, but it was just awesome.
I love his nickname.
White Chocolate?
Yeah.
Dude, it's because he's got that freak. Dude, he's sweet, bro. He freaking me.
Whew. I know.
Great. Bro, he has some of the coolest moves I ever saw happen on the NBA floor. And
yeah,
actually,
Billy's coached a lot of really good players from where he was before to Florida. Because what was the college before when Jason Williams transferred with him?
See, I don't know. I remember. I watched the whole thing on YouTube, but I forgot.
Like it. Providence or something like that?
I don't know, it wasn't too, yeah, I know, it wasn't that big of a school, I don't think, wasn't it? It was like,
it was Marshall.
Yeah, and then they transferred over there, and then I guess Jason Williams had an issue, like, he almost didn't make it in the NBA because he had an issue with smoking, and his dad and Billy Donovan had a big meeting with him, basically let him know, like, you gotta fix your stuff, or you're not gonna make it, and he switched it up for them. He said he felt like he let him down, Billy Donovan and his dad, and he made it up to him, and boom. We got the white chocolate we know today.
They should bring Joakim Noah on the staff with them. That would be great.
Ooh, that'd be tough, right? That'd be cool. For sure. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, the Bulls are 6th in field goal percentage, 7th in points per game. So our offense is dope, man. Our offense is killing, and I like watching Zach and Kobe and the way we're progressing. We look smart on offense for sure.
It's just defense now, right?
Right. Now we struggle in defense. And I think looking at the stats and stuff, what I saw, what pointed out to me is we're 22nd in rebounds. So, like, that sucks, too. Rebounds is a tough one for us, and we're 27th in points allowed. So
what is Wendell and Lowry doing? Like, pull some rebounds down.
Yeah, well, Lowry, I think, is kind of being – I think he's a big reason why our offense is doing well, too, because he's
efficient,
he's doing great offensively, but he's also not – I mean, we're just – as a team, our defense is not good. We're just not there on defense.
Very true. See Patrick Williams' game?
Yeah, dude. I try to watch all the Bulls game.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
And his shots are so smooth. Like, he takes smart shots. They look just smart. You know what I mean? Like, some shots you just look, you're like, why would you take that? But whenever he shoots, I feel like that's a smart shot.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know? So yeah, we struggle on defense, but that's those are stuff that can be changed. You know what I mean? Those are things that can be fixed. It's just figuring all that stuff out. So that's awesome. And LaVine, our man, is actually, hoping to get that All-Star push this year.
It's ridiculous he didn't make the All-Star game in Chicago. Like, dude, what?
Dude, and I feel like he's kind of been snubbed on – he was snubbed on that as well. And he shows out, dude. He shows out. And especially this year, he's has a 50% field goal percentage, averaging 26.5 points, 5
That's
rebounds,
an All-Star.
5 assists. And, yeah, dude, he's killing it. And the fact that he's in top 10 for fourth quarter points or something. He's clutch, man. He's all star. Yeah. Like, he's
AJ,
definitely
you,
our guy.
AJ, have you watched any Bulls games yet this year? This would be a time to start watching them again. They're actually an exciting team.
Yeah, I mean, ever since like Billy Donovan signed on, I've been interested in it. I just haven't. Ever since like the days of like Michael Jordan, I haven't watched much.
You watched back in the day with Derrick Rose too. Though. I remember you coming over watching some games.
Oh yeah,
that was exciting.
That was the time where it kind of came back up a little bit. But yeah, it's just like I watched the times of like Elton Brand. I watched. oh God, what was that guy from
Chris Duhon?
Chris Duhon, fucking God. All those Chris guys, man. Then there was what was it, Jay Williams? We drafted.
That hurt.
We've had a rough history from Jordan.
It turned a lot of people off, and I get it. The franchise, the ownership, did that to people.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely the franchise itself that did it. But I feel like now we're on a push for something.
Now's the time to come back, man.
Yeah, and it looks if you watch, you'll see. Like, I think we've been putting the pieces together over the years. But right now we're actually progressing with that. Now we've put the pieces together, and now we have the coach, and we're showing potential to actually be somebody in the future for sure.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, you'll enjoy it, man. Watch a game. Come over and watch a game soon.
Yeah, for sure. Get some wings going and some greasy pizza or whatever.
Yeah, greasy pizza.
Hey, man. Hey, but continuing talking about future, the rookies this year are doing some work. And my favorite rookie, LaMelo, is actually he just looks so good, man. Just looks so cool.
And, what a game he had.
Yeah. He's had multiple great games, but he put his scoring high up. Was it scoring high? I think it was a score.
That was as high.
The other night.
Yeah. Last night.
Yeah, and
so 38.
Last night. Yeah, man. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, dude, he's tough, man. He's doing everything. He did everything.
And 34. Like
he plays like he's been in the league forever, dude. It's so crazy to see. It's so cool. I really like him.
I think that's who we're chasing for that 8 seed, right?
Who, the Hornets?
Yeah.
We're
only 12. A game back. Oh, yeah. The Knicks.
The Hornets and Magic are ahead of us too.
Yeah, the Magic, Hornets, Cavaliers,
Cavs,
and then the Knicks. But we're only a game far, back,
dude. Yeah, we're literally there's a whole race right there. You know what I mean?
But LaMelo, that's your rookie of the year right now, right?
I feel like he is. But you know who makes a good push? There's actually a couple that are there. You know, I mean, there's a couple that are doing some things though that I'm pretty. That are pretty cool to see, and maybe they might make a push. It's still early, but LaMelo looks like he will be. I don't know. Yeah. Just for me, game wise, it's gonna be tough because he's gonna keep getting better. I think. I think he's gonna get.
I agree. I think he is our rookie of the year right now.
Yeah, I mean James Wiseman's doing okay. I mean he's a starter too. So I mean they were thinking he's doing his thing, or he's not a starter too. I think LaMelo just started.
Yeah, he was on the bench, right?
Yeah, he was coming off the bench, and I think he just started in the last week. Maybe just like last night. I don't know if it was last night, but he definitely just started soon, like recently. And then Wiseman's, of course, been starting for a while. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's tough for a big man. You know what I mean? It's tough out there, especially on that team. That's a tough team to be part of.
Oh, he got hurt. I didn't realize he was hurt. Sprained left wrist.
Oh, Wiseman's hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Me either. I think maybe last
game. He just got hurt then or something.
No? Yeah, because he didn't play that game where Oubre finally showed up and scored 40 points.
Yeah. Also, another guy who I haven't heard anybody else speak of him on the Knicks. Emmanuel Quickly. That dude's doing pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is not. That's what I mean. There's some sleepers in this. Especially the guard for the guards like Haliburton. He's been up there.
I think he's second place. They were saying.
Yeah, like it's a little race for guards. So yeah. We'll see. Unfortunately, it's cool. I like the future.
Unfortunately, I don't think Patrick Williams is going to win that. Just because he don't start, he don't get enough minutes. But if he's not on first team all rookie, there's something wrong. That guy's playing good basketball.
Oh yeah, no, he definitely deserves to be something for sure. But I don't think he'll be in rookie. I just don't think he's not the star of our team. And LaMelo is the star. You know what I mean? So LaMelo's not the star, but he's that's his team soon. Yeah, like, it's gonna be his team.
Yeah,
you look at Patrick Williams, and you know that's gonna be a great piece on our team.
Exactly.
That's what his job is. Yes. Yes. He definitely deserves to be on that rookie all team for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the top teams of now,
who do you got?
Man, I mean,
it's tough.
It's
right now,
it's tough. His regular season is tough because things just you never know what's gonna happen, especially with Corona. I mean, people are dropping out every single game. You know, we have the Bulls have had Wendell start. We've had Gafford start.
It's crazy.
You know, and I like Gafford a lot. I hope we stick with Gafford.
I hope we trade Wendell and just let Gafford start.
I'm with that. As a Bulls fan, I'm with that for sure.
I don't like Wendell Carter.
I just think he was good last year. And then he got hurt, and we kind of maybe had like a drink. Like, did he get hurt last year? I think he got hurt last year, didn't he?
Sure, something happened to him.
He got taken out, and like, but he did really, really good. So at first, you're like, oh, snap. And like, mm-hmm. I guess your imagination kind of takes over, and you're like, he's going to be great when he comes back. But
have you seen the standings? I mean, the 76ers are first right now in the East, and the Jazz are first in the West. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, the Jazz.
They're great. I mean,
yeah, the Jazz are freaking, they're not bad, dude. Like, they have freaking some hitters. That's the thing is, like, it's regular season, too. It's regular season bubble mm-hmm. stuff. So this is, I mean, it's not bubble. I mean, they're letting fans in. I don't know if you saw LeBron in the...
Oh, LeBron courtside and Karen. The
courtside Karen. Oh, my.
Did you see that, AJ? Yeah, kicked her out. Courtside Karen.
Yeah, too much, too much. You only fan in there, you got to scream stuff.
Dude, her husband and LeBron were going back and forth. I guess her husband said something a little out of hand. LeBron said old steroid ass or something like that to him. And then the wife just went off. Yeah.
And like, she went
not,
off. And,
you're not
and
talking was, about my mans. And yeah, just too much. Went off. Then they got kicked out. Yeah,
man, you're there to watch the game, bro. Just chill. That's what I mean. Like, I wouldn't go. Don't. Why do you want to fight them? They're there to play the game. You're there to watch them. Like,
but the thing is, LeBron in the press conference was like, "Yeah, it was two dudes just going back and forth. It wasn't really like, I mean, it was back and forth banter." He's like, "It's like what it is when fans are there," but then she just decided to do that.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. The drama's gonna come back when fans come back. It wasn't no Artest situation, but
we don't want that. Yeah, but. Yeah. What do they call it? The Malice in the Palace?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was nuts.
But no, it was that. That's a little drama. I don't even know why we're bringing that card and stuff up.
Because it was funny.
But no, man, it was cool. I'm an NBA. I'm excited for the Bulls. It's been great. I love basketball.
Basketball's been fun just because it seems it's very competitive.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, this has been a great episode, man. We got a lot of stuff done. We got stuff with Daniel done. We got stuff taken care of. Remember, if y'all listening, Keys to the City, man. Remember Keys that name. It's going to be coming up. Yep. CG Podcast coming up. They're going to show up with their website. We'll be sure to tell y'all when it's coming out.
Mm-hmm. We'll have him on again to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely have him on. And hopefully, you know, throughout this month for Black History Month, we have some of our friends come up. Mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to be on, man. Anybody that wants to be on, have something to talk about. We want to have you. We'll have
Debo next week. Out there.
Yeah, Debo's coming back. Nice. Let me start the ding ding because that's my boy right there. We're going at it.
Yeah, we got to figure out a topic for you two to go at it with.
For sure. We'll figure it out. AJ, man, thank you for coming on again, bro, and being a part of this episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love having you on, man. You're great at it.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time when you're here, so appreciate that.
Somebody for a good ASMR. Maybe, you know, talk about eating some mac and cheese, some greasy ass pizza, some nice stuff.
all right, hit him up. Y'all know who it is. It's your boy AJ over there. Go hit him up, man. It's been your boy CG Too Easy, your boy Tone. It's the CG Podcast. Thank y'all, man. All
right, y'all.
Welcome to the CG Podcast. That's CG Podcast. That's CG Podcast. We coming through your speakers. It's that CG Podcast.